The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PlayUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 162. Excited to have Matt Manns with us today. Matt is the strength coach for the men's and women's lacrosse teams at Syracuse. And, you know, quite honestly, just growing up in the Midwest, lacrosse is a sport that I haven't known a whole lot about, but really kind of taking it up a little bit recently because my kids have gotten interested in it, and I've gotten to know a lot of different strength coaches that have worked with the sport. So I wanted to have Matt on. Obviously, Syracuse is a powerhouse when it comes to lacrosse. We get into their program, kind of how they make that unique, some of the things that he does from a team building standpoint and things like that. I mean, he's a former football player that got, you know, kind of started working with lacrosse, and how he's brought a little bit of that mentality to training and the whole deal. And so real excited to bring you this episode. Before we do, though, we want to make sure we recognize our sponsor, PlayUSA. As you guys know, I've talked about Play for the last several years and just so impressed with the company, so impressed with the innovation and where they're taking the company as a whole, their commitment to performance and education, and just thank the world of them. And so if you're in the market for sports flooring, I would definitely check them out. It's not even close when it comes to product value and product just overall quality. And you know, I couldn't say enough great things about Play as a company, as a product, but also more importantly, the people. So definitely check them out. Play USA, play.us, and follow all the things that they have going on. All right, I want to get to this episode with Matt. Sit back and enjoy, and we'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Excited to have Matt Manns with us from Syracuse. He came highly recommended from a former intern of both of ours, Adam Smith, who's now with the Anaheim Angels and doing great things, and we thank the world of. But obviously, you know, we played Syracuse quite a few times when I was at South Florida, and you know, every time that I would go up there, you know, there's a big banner in the dome that has Jim Brown, you know, in lacrosse. And, you know, growing up in the Midwest, I never really was around it, you know. And so Matt is, you know, running the program for the lacrosse programs there at Syracuse. And they're obviously routinely, you know, top five every year. And
usually in there, yeah.
You know, and doing fantastic things. But, man, I wanted to have you on the show, talk a little bit about that. I appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks so much.
Coach, it's truly an honor to be on the show, so thanks for having me.
Matt, take us back now a little bit, you know, to, you know, the Cortland days or maybe even before, and kind of how, you know, just Reader's Digest version, kind of how you got into strength conditioning and then how you landed there at Syracuse.
Yeah, like most strength coaches, you grow up, you know, playing sports and athletics, and, you know, you realize, you know, you're a highly active kid and you're always trying to stay busy, whether it be, you know, running on your own or lifting on your own. So, you know, so I've always had a passion for, you know, training and stuff like that. Grew up, ironically, never played lacrosse. You know, I was a baseball guy growing up. Played baseball and football primarily. Went upstate and played, you know, D3 football at Cortland, upstate New York. But again, always had a passion, you know, for training or you know, whatever. You know, so then, on my winter breaks, you know, being up in Cortland, my part-time job is working at a mechanic, you know, as a mechanic under my dad. Has been a mechanic for 30 years. You know, you see him, you know, busting his butt and supporting seven kids on a single income. You know, and that kind of where I realized, you know, whatever profession I pick, you know, you really want to do something you love. And that's where I kind of chose to do. I didn't even think I was going to be into strength and conditioning, but I knew it was something involved with exercise science or something that I, you know, really had an interest in. So you pick your major and your exercise science, you know, classes, and then you start to really, you know, learn about, you know, the profession and the career. And then going into my senior year at Cortland, I was in a strength and conditioning class, and my professor at the time, her name was Kristen Luther, you know, she asked me, hey, do you want to do an internship? Do you have any internship spots that you have in mind? And, you know, I was thinking about going, you know, back home and interning back on Long Island, and, you know, and she said, well, you know, my husband is the director of strength conditioning, you know, at Syracuse. He's always looking for interns. You know, I think you'd be a good candidate for the job. Is that something you'd be interested in? And I completely jumped at that opportunity. You know, and if anybody knows, you know, Hal Luther, who was the director of strength conditioning at the time, he's very, very short and to the point. So I went up there and I, you know, I shook hands with Hal, and he showed me the weight room, and he said, see you in January. And you know, I went home, and, you know, so I interned, you know, here at Syracuse while I was still living in Cortland, you know, driving up every day, you know, but in my eyes, I was, you know, living the life, you know, interning under, you know, Hal Luther and Will Hicks, who's a legendary strength coach in the game right now, just to be, you know, a fly on the wall, if you may, as interns are, and just kind of soak up, you know, everything you can. And I just tried to do the best job I could as an intern, whether it be, you know, scrubbing the floors, cleaning the weight room, not speaking. You know, I don't think I spoke a word until about 2 months in. And I think that's why they like me so much.
No question.
But again, you know, interned there and, you know, finished up in May and, you know, graduated my degree. And you think, you know, you're ready to take on the world. And it's really not that easy, you know, coming right out of college. So I started, you know, working at a gym, and I think I had maybe two clients. So I was lucky enough that summer where Coach Luther called me back, and he said, hey, you did a great job as an intern. You want to come back up and volunteer? Here's the thing, though. You know, we can't pay you, and we can't house you. So you have to, you know, figure something out like that, you know, but we can feed you, and, you know, we can wash your laundry. And I think those were the two selling points on me coming back up. But, you know, then I started to figure out. I still had a couple buddies still going to Cortland. And I texted him. I shot him a text and said, hey, can I crash on your couch a couple nights a week? And, you know, so they obliged. And so I would drive up from Cortland to Cuse every day, you know, volunteer. I'd work a part-time job at the Carry Dome for some gas money and some food money. And then I'd shoot back down to Cortland and crash on my buddy's couch. You know, I'd kind of alternate between couches, you know, didn't want to, you know, invade too much on my buddies, on their space, you know, but did that for two semesters. And then, you know, finally, you know, moved up here a while back, so I didn't have to sleep on couches and drive up every day. But that's how I kind of, you know, found a way to just keep hanging around. And that's what they kept telling me, Coach Hicks and Coach Luther, just keep hanging around. You know, keep finding a way to stay with us, and, you know, we'll take care of you. And, you know, so that was my first year here at Cuse, post-college. And then got lucky enough where Coach Luther was moving on to take a job at the Buffalo Bills. And so at the time, I was working under them, you know, working with football and helping with lacrosse a little bit. But I'm 23 years old, and he says, hey, I'm taking a job in the NFL. Lacrosse is yours. So I'm 1 year out of college, and now I just got handed, you know, a top five team.
Right.
You know, out of college, it was a pretty intimidating experience. But again, it was a challenge that I was inviting. You know, I was ready to go. You know, and what greater an opportunity than to have a, you know, a team of your own, you know, passed on to you where you can kind of, you know, put your stamp on. You know, that's what you sign up for. That's why you do this job, is to, you know, create opportunities like that. And, you know, so I was giving lacrosse when he left, and I kept, you know, helping Coach Hicks out with football. You know, kept kind of moving my way up, went from, you know, unpaid volunteer to, you know, part-time hourly, you know, to keep, you know, moving up and getting on full time. And then the next year, you know, I was handed women's lacrosse as well. You know, so now I got three sports. You know, really dove into the profession kind of head first.
Yep.
And, you know, just, you know, trying to make your own opportunities, you know, by just busting your butt and then coming, you know, coming to work and doing your job.
That's great, man. There's lots of good things to pull out of there. Obviously, you know, the hard work. I mean, it doesn't matter what, you know, where you come from, what you do, how you get into the profession. It's right. Always hard work that leads there. And having that modeled by your dad and, you know, I'm sure, you know, six siblings. I mean, that, you know, you had to fight every day just for freaking the extra steak on the table or something. But, you know, I thought the other thing to pull out of there was, you know, 2 ears and one mouth, right? You know, you listen more than you talked. And I think that's an important lesson for young coaches, you know, is to soak it all in. And when you do that, you learn more than you think. And we just had a conversation with our interns yesterday, you know, about our internship, you know, our internship. I mean, they learn a ton, and they recognize that. But there's at a point where it seems like it's Groundhog Day. It's the same day every day, and they don't realize how much they're taking away until they leave, and they're like, "Oh man, I learned this, and this." And that's really what you do when you listen, you know, and pay attention. And you know, last thing I think that was good that you said was, you know, you're not always ready for the next opportunity. You know, you weren't necessarily ready for to lead a top five team, but you rose to the challenge because you had 2 ears and one mouth and listened to you know, and prepared yourself for that opportunity. So tons of great stuff there in that journey. What, you know, as a young coach and taking over a program and, you know, it's a top five program, I'm sure there's been lots of mistakes. What's been the biggest mistake you've made as a coach and kind of how you learned from it?
Yeah, I think definitely my biggest mistake, you know, my first couple of years in profession is not, you know, educating myself. You know, once you're done with your schooling and stuff like that, you feel like you know enough or you're ready to, you know, take on any role or any team or any athlete when you're really not. And there's so much more information out there that requires a little extra effort on your part, you know, to go out and find that information and educate yourself and continue to educate yourself. So I think that's definitely my biggest mistake, you know, when I first started into the profession. Was not doing enough on my part to see what else, you know, other people are doing and how to do other things in a certain way. You know, and now, you know, I've been doing this five years now. Now I think it's, you know, the most important thing you do as a strength coach is to, you know, you want to program your program and know your stuff, but as well you want to educate yourself on, you know, what else is out there that, you know, that you can use that's going to help your athletes. And at the end of the day, it's about your athletes.
That's right.
You know, you can find something, you know, that can get them a little bit better, you know, but it's on your part. You got to take responsibility, you know, to go out there and kind of put a little bit more effort on your part to, you know, find that information and educate yourself. And that's something that I wish I did definitely a little bit more when I first got into it. But now I make it, you know, definitely a huge part of what I do now.
Yeah, I always talk about on the show making sure that you're learning from other people's mistakes so that you can bypass some of the manholes and the pitfalls that come about, you know, and that's going to get you to where you want to go that much faster. And so I totally agree with that. You know, you came out of college, you played football, you weren't really familiar with lacrosse. All of a sudden you take over this program that's you know, perennially ranked.
Right.
You know, how did you go about educating yourself on the needs analysis of a lacrosse player and, you know, kind of, you know, what's the basic program design and then kind of talk a little bit about what that program design looks like for you now?
Absolutely. Well, you know, being from Long Island, it's pretty much a hotspot of lacrosse, so I had a little bit of a background with it. You know, so I was pretty familiar about how the game is played. But again, not playing it, that's a little bit of a disadvantage. I'd say, you know, when you're coaching or training or programming for football, you know, if you play football, you kind of know what you need to program. You know, on the other hand, not playing a sport, you got to be responsible for, you know, how do you assess what an athlete or a lacrosse athlete needs. And I think, you know, I did when I first took over, as I attended every practice. You know, I tried to just watch, you know, each position or, you know, how the offense operates, how the defense operates, how the middies operate, you know, what does a fogo need to do, what does a goalie need to do, and just have your own assessment on, you know, how they're moving and, you know, what the duration of how long they're moving and stuff like that. So I think, you know, just it's not only in the weight room. You know, once you do your stuff in the weight room, go out to practice and see, you know, see who's athletic, who's slow, who's not, who needs to get a little better. I think trying to attend every practice and just watch the sport, you know, day in and day out, and really try to pick up the game and the sport of lacrosse is something that definitely helped me. You know, as far as when you're looking at, you know, the sport, I try to explain it. The best way I explain it to somebody is, you know, it has the speed and skill of hockey with concepts of hockey and basketball on a soccer field. So the field is big, you know, but it's fast and it's a highly skilled sport like hockey, and it has concepts of basketball. And if you've got to put that in your mind, you know, that's kind of what lacrosse is. It's definitely a game of runs and momentum, and it's a high-paced game. But again, there's, you know, there's shifts and there's lulls and highs and lulls. You know, so you train for that. You know, I look at it, you know, having a football background, working under Coach Hicks, you know, we know how to get guys strong. So, you know, when I first took over lacrosse, you know, I'm running through some basic testing, you know, and we could get a little stronger, but then I'm looking at these guys, you know, vertical jumps and broad jumps, and you know, these guys are, you know, they're not going to like me saying it, but they're not very good athletes. You know, they're highly skilled, but they need to be more explosive.
Right.
You know, because I think, you know, it's a running sport. But I looked at it in a sense where, all right, you know, I want to get these guys strong, but I want to get them explosive, and I want to get them in very, very good shape.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, you take what you know, and you take what you learn from football and how to program for football. You know, and you use those. We use our big three. You know, we're a bench squad, hand clean team. But we also use variations of each. You know, these guys aren't football players, so do they need to bench 225 all the time? They don't. Do they have to use a bar all the time? They don't. You know, they're not training for any combine or pro day. You know, so we don't have to rely so much on a barbell bench press. You know, we can use a lot of variations of a floor press or a dumbbell bench. And then again with the squat. A lot of these guys coming in don't know how to squat or don't know how to hinge right and don't know how to sit back, you know. So I started implementing a lot of box squatting with our guys, and they really like, you know, using the box squat. I love coaching it because I think it helps the learning process a little bit of how to move right or how to do the exercise right. And again, when you program your Olympic movement. You know, a lot of football teams are hand clean teams. You know, we're a hand clean team, but so again, some guys can't do it right. They can't hinge right. They don't know how to move the bar the right way. You know, so it's not, you know, you just put them on the platform and expect them to do it. So you got to kind of dissect the movement. And the thing about lacrosse is, you know, if you got a highly recruited football kid, you know, usually he has some sort of strength and conditioning background, you know, in high school or growing up in the recruiting process, because it's paired with football.
Right.
Lacrosse is completely different. You know, these guys, you know, they probably go to school, they hang out, they play lacrosse, they go home. And, you know, it's not as paired, you know, with the sport. So when they come in, it's a fresh piece of meat, if you will, that you can kind of mold and shape and teach,
sure,
coach, you know, how to move right and how to do the exercise properly. And then, you know, so we're doing our bench or some variation, our squat or some box squat variation, hand clean or some variation of that. Med ball throws, and we're always going to do some sort of plyometric jump, and then we're going to run. Because again, this sport is played on a big field. It's coined the fastest game on 2 feet. You know, so you know you got to develop some sort of linear speed and change of direction, deceleration that you want to program as well. And basically, those five things are something that, you know, I don't deviate too far away from. That I'm always going to put in some sort of program that I have. So
sure, what you know, so. I would say that there's not a whole lot of difference between that and maybe some of the other programs that are out there. What do you think makes your program, what you do at Syracuse, unique to the strength and conditioning community?
Well, I can definitely say or speak for my athletes that our conditioning test is probably one of the hardest conditioning tests in the country. We run three 440-yard gassers. You know, the length of a field is 110 yards, so we're running down, back. For time, we take a 5-minute break, we run our second, we take a 5-minute break, we run our third. And our times for that are 67 seconds, 72 seconds, and 75 seconds. with a 5-minute break in between each. And it's a tough test. It's definitely a tough test, and our guys take a lot of pride in that. You know, they see it as a little bit of a rite of passage to play here. And I think that one piece definitely separates us from a lot of programs in the country. Again, our guys take a lot of pride in it, and you know, we're trying to be the best conditioned team in the country, and they think that, or I believe, and we believe that, you know, mentally and physically, that test definitely separates us from our teams.
So to say, repeat that again. It's 300-400 guys. So is it 100 yards, or are you going 110?
The 110, down back.
Okay.
So your total is 440, and again, 5-minute break in between each. And how I judge it is, you know, 214 seconds. If you add all three of the shuttles up, the time that determines if you pass or fail is 214 seconds. But I do a total time, not a individual shuttle time. So
okay,
if the first shuttle's 67,
so you're averaging them out
at 69, that doesn't mean you failed the test, because if your second is 69 and your third is 68, you're technically in pretty damn good shape.
Right.
You know, you may not just have the straight line speed to run 67 for a 440, but you're conditioned enough where you can run three under 70 seconds. And that's an interesting part that I got from, you know, our previous strength staff, is you got to do a total time when you're doing pass or fail, because you can run the first one and you can smoke the first one. You can smoke the second one, but if you're not trained and you're not conditioned, that third one will kick your butt.
Right.
And yeah, that's why we see a lot of our guys that, hey, you know, you come in 1 second late on the first one doesn't mean, you know, you fail the test. You know, you can continually improve, you know, through all three. You know, and I can tell who's been running over winter break and summer break and who hasn't. And
right.
You can tell by halfway through that second, you know, going into that third, you know, when that left gas starts kicking in, your legs start shutting down. But again, that's a trainable thing, and that's what we're trying to train for. We're trying to delay that onset, and it's if you train for it, it's definitely a passable test, and if you don't, it's very evident and it kicks your butt.
What do you guys do if they don't pass the test?
We do a little bit of a breakfast club type thing. You know, there's obviously some reinforcement. It's definitely a high standard we hold at Syracuse, you know, to come in and pass that test. The guys that don't, they got to do a little bit extra. And, you know, we run the test once a week until they pass. And obviously we got a couple guys, you know, some Fogos and some goalies that really have trouble passing it. So after about three or four times rerunning it, and, you know, it's clear and evident that they're not going to, you know, we work out some sort of deal where they're just doing some sort of extra work or extra cardio or extra prowler, to kind of make that up. But
yeah. How do you modify now? I mean, you kind of went over through your program design. How do you modify during the season? You know, obviously these guys are getting banged up. They're doing lots of running, lots of volume.
Right.
You know, I'm not sure exactly, to be honest with you. I don't know much about lacrosse. How many games are they playing a week?
We play about one game a week. And then towards the end of the season, I'd say halfway through the season, we start playing twice a week.
Okay.
So for the first about 6 weeks of the season, we're only playing Saturday or Sunday. And then once we get about halfway through the season, we'll play either a Tuesday, Saturday, or a Wednesday, Sunday, you know, things of that nature where we're playing twice a week.
So it adds up, and it's a little bit more volume. So how do you adjust your program around
that?
So
just leading into that, you know, our first 6 weeks of the season – you know, we're still moving a good amount of weight, you know, in the weight room. You know, obviously, and I just started doing this season, and I'm realizing, you know, the benefits of it. You know, I cut the volume way down on our big lifts, you know, and I used the percentage that, you know, we're still using at least around 70-80% on our box squat and our bench, but our reps are three or twos. And, you know, we're still getting a good amount of weight on the bar and still moving some weight on the bar, you know, but your volume is way low. So those 6 weeks are crucial, you know, to continue with those heavy loads, you know, but just cut the volume down and setting yourself up to still be stronger late in the season. And I got guys PRing on box squats, you know, halfway through the season. And you know, I'm starting to realize that this is a good thing right
now.
So, you know, again, you cut your volume, or I started cutting my volume way down, but you know, you still want to strength for strength and maintain or even build on some strength. And those first 6 weeks of the season are crucial. So you can still get your big three in early in the week, and that's what we do. We usually do a big three early in the week. You know, as we move down towards game time, we're tapering. And once you start playing, you know, the Wednesday or Sunday or those midweek games, you know, you cut down on your big squats, or you know, you cut out some stuff that's going to really keep them heavy legged. And you know, I've been doing a lot of soft tissue, you know, foam rolling and lax balls. There's no shortage of those, you know, to get some release and keep these guys fresh. And the tough part about that is to get them to buy into it.
Right.
And, you know, if you're dinged up and you're sore and all you're going to do is complain about it, you know, you're not doing any good.
Right.
You know, get on a foam roller, get on a lax ball, you know, keep rolling yourself out. You know, getting some contrast therapy and some tubs and, you know, trying to get your kids to really, you know, buy into that recovery mode of it, you know, because you're coaching all your stuff in the weight room, but you also got to coach recovery as well.
No question.
You want to keep them as fresh as possible, especially, you know, an old strength coach used to say, it's the price you want to pay if you want to dance in May. And that's where every lacrosse team wants to be, is you want to be playing on Memorial Day. But again, it's the stuff you do in March and April that sets you up for that.
No question. Well, buddy, we end the show here with some resources. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
I'll give you two. My old high school football coach used to always say, you know, as you move on through your life, you know, you leave, but your legacy stays. And you always want to know what your legacy is. And that should be a huge driving force of everything that you do. So that's something that I always try to live by is, you know, as I move on, you know, wherever you go, your legacy stays. So you're trying to make your legacy as best as you can. And another piece of advice, one of my coaches in college, he went from level to the NFL in 2 years. And he used to always say, it doesn't matter, you know, how you got to where you are or where you are, as long as the lights come on, you're ready to go. And you know, it's something that I know that he used, and it's something that I still use today. You know, when you're seizing opportunities, and you, like we said earlier, you know, I don't know if I was ready, you know, to take on a program when I was 23, but I was, you know, inviting the challenge and ready to go. So those are two pieces of advice that I try to use every day.
Oh, that's great, man. Give us a book, app, and website recommendation.
Book, Die Empty by Todd Henry. I read that about 2 years ago, and I still use some of the quotes in that book every day. It's, you don't want to die with your best work still inside you. And it's really about you emptying yourself every day and acting with, you know, urgency and diligence. And his whole thing is run to the battle. And, you know, you want to define your battle and then run to the battle and act with urgency and diligence. And those two things can really, you know, motivate you. After I'm reading the book and I want to run through a brick wall while I'm reading it. You know, it's one of those books that, you know, really gets you, you know, hyped up and ready to go. And as I think as a strength coach, it's a huge, you know, piece that you could use definitely as a strength coach. So
yeah, that's good.
An app, anything on Twitter, you know, I try to stay on Twitter. There's a lot of stuff, you know, being posted. If you follow some good guys on Twitter, you get a lot of information on Twitter. And then a website, anything on Strength Performance Network. Those videos out there, you know, just seeing what other coaches and other teams are doing. And, you know, quick videos, you know, a couple videos every day. Just, you know, seeing what's out there and seeing what other teams are doing keeps you fresh and keeps, you know, more tools in your toolbox.
Yep. Well, man, this has been great, man. Like I said, I didn't know much about lacrosse, and definitely that's – I always try to put myself in those shoes where – you know, for the most part, I've been a football strength coach my whole life.
Yep.
Or at least my whole professional life. And you know, never really working with other sports. And so taking on a sport that you don't know, that you all of a sudden it's the highest level. And, you know, I've always wondered how I would handle that type of situation. And obviously you were handling it fantastic there and continue to do great things. And, Took away a bunch of good stuff in this one, man. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Coach, thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.